Today's scripture is from Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people. The faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have a great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins.
One of the things I love about being here in this church is that we have people every week from all over the world. We have people, I think the most we've ever had from different nationalities was 11 different nationalities represented in one service. And it's really fun to get to know people from all over the world and see all of our cultures and see all of our traditions. That's a fantastic thing. And that's something that we see throughout the world more and more because of communication, because of travel. We see more people being in touch with other cultures, other nationalities, other ways of thinking. That's a wonderful thing. That's an absolutely wonderful thing. But one of the things that we have seen in the history of Christianity is sometimes we have a bit of a culture clash within Christianity. And that's not just between nations. Sometimes that's within communities, that people will see things differently. Sometimes even people within the same family will see things differently. And that begins to at times create conflict. And we are not immune to that within Christianity. From the beginning, there have been debates on what exactly should Christianity look like? What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? What should we do as a Christian culture? From almost the beginning of the church, there were these struggles, these clashes, these arguments on what Christianity should look like. Early on in the Christian movement, a great big debate started because the Jewish people who had followed Jesus wanted all the Gentiles, the people who were not Jewish, to follow Jesus, but they wanted them to do it the way they did. And the people thought, well, we were Jewish, and then we followed Jesus. So anyone who follows Jesus needs to become Jewish first and then follow Jesus. That was their reasoning. That's the way I did it. So that's the way everybody else should do it. And a lot of people thought that was a good idea. And some people didn't. And so they had a conference. This is in Acts chapter 15. They had a great big gathering of people to discuss this. And a lot of people, probably the vast majority of people, thought it was a good idea for Christians to become Jewish first and then follow Jesus. And Peter and Paul and James and a lot of other strong leaders in the church said, no, we're not doing that. We're just going to follow Jesus. From whatever tradition you come from, you can follow Jesus. That was the first big argument within the church. And we've had a lot since then. We've had a lot of discussions that led to arguments. We had a lot of arguments that led to conflicts. And very sadly, tragically, in our history, some of these conflicts have even led to war and death and people being put to death to defend someone's idea of what Christianity should be. That's a terrible tragedy in our history. And it just shows that throughout our Christian life, we've struggled, sometimes to the point of war, hopefully to the point of just discussion, of what should this look like? What does it mean to be a Christian? And that's a question that we get a lot from people who are not Christians. When I talk to people who are not followers of Jesus, very often they tell me things that the reason they're not followers of Jesus is this or that reason they learned from a church. And I tell them, well, I don't agree with that either. That there are sometimes they learn things about the church from certain aspects of the church, certain denominations, and they reject that and they think, well, I've rejected all of Christianity. We have a lot of different thoughts within Christianity. People follow the Catholic Church. They follow the Protestant Church. There's a lot of different Protestant churches. And even within those denominations, there are people that are more conservative or more liberal. We have a lot of different thoughts. Now, I'm not going to be able to bring all of that together today in one sermon. I'm not going to be able to overcome all of our discussions and our arguments and even our conflicts. Wish I could, but I can't do that. But I can help. Because the Apostle Paul has given us a picture of what Christianity looks like if we read carefully our scripture today from Colossians chapter 1. Beginning in verse 9, the Apostle Paul, writing to this church in Colossae, which was a great church, he's very proud of them. He's never met them personally, but a good friend of his has started this church. He's heard about them. They are faithful people doing good work. He's very excited about this church, and he writes to them to compliment them and to tell them that he's praying for them. And in verse 9, he says, "For this reason, since the day I heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to." Now that piques my interest. What would the Apostle Paul, if he's writing to a really good church that are following Jesus, what would Paul continually pray for? That would seem to be important. And so what if we just kind of put a colon right there after that word? There's not one in the text, but let's just pretend that we continually ask God to and list the things that he is continually asking God to do in this church, the people of God. We continually ask God to fill you with knowledge of his will. When we are part of the Christian faith, following the will of God is the most important. Now that might seem obvious. That's easier said than done because our cultures are very, very strong. I've had many, many people come and talk to me over the years about one issue or another. And as we were talking, sometimes they would say, well, that's just the way I was raised. Or maybe they'll put it, that's just my culture. That's the way we do it in my family. That's the way we do things in my community or in my country. And with all due respect to families and communities and nations and cultures, and again I say with all due respect, so? Christianity is based on the will of God, not anyone's culture, not anyone's family background, not anyone's opinion, or the way we were raised. All of us, somewhere along the line, were taught something wrong. Because our parents, our communities, our nations are made of people, and people are flawed. And so the continual work of Christianity is to learn the will of God. And sometimes we have to set aside our own culture, our own family background, our own opinions to find the will of God. That's not easy to do. It's easy to follow our own habits. It's easy to follow the things that we've always done. But the thing that the Apostle Paul says first, I'm praying for you. I'm continually praying for you as the people of God, as God's church in this world. First of all, that you be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Now, how does that happen? I'm continually asked that God fill you with knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. See, it doesn't come from family. It doesn't come from background, community, nations. It can, God can use all of those things. But ultimately, if we are to follow God's will, if we are going to be Christian people following Christ, we know His will through the Spirit. That's how we give up our opinions. That's how we overcome our own cultural backgrounds sometimes. That's how we admit, you know, I love my mom and my dad, but they might have been wrong on this one. I love my community, but in this area, maybe I wasn't taught exactly right because the Spirit is teaching me something else. That is hard to do. That's very hard for us to do. But if we give ourselves to knowing God's will through the Spirit, God will continually teach us. That's how we know God's will, is to be in touch with God's Spirit. That takes prayer, that takes reading the Scriptures, that takes worship, being in touch with the Spirit. We learn to hear the message of God in our own lives so that we can overcome even our own opinions. That through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, and when we have that, what does it lead to? Paul writes, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way. This is ultimately what it's about. That we overcome our own opinions, our own background, our own culture, our own heritage. Not that we throw all of that out. Some of it may be very good. But we listen to the Spirit to correct us. That we know God's will in all things through the Spirit so that we can live a life that really is pleasing to God. That God is proud of. That God looks at us and says, that's exactly what I want to see. That God's Spirit is flowing through us, and He's excited about us living with Him in His Spirit. Now, what would that look like? If we were doing that, if we were pleasing God, if we were living a life worthy of being called followers of Jesus, being called Christians, you notice the word Christ is in the word Christian. That we are worthy of the name of Christ in our name of Christian. That means that as we please Him in every way, we are bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened in all power according to His glorious might. It's a pretty good life. That if we are doing living a life that is worthy of God. These are the things that we're going to have. We're going to be bearing fruit in every good work. It means we live a life of purpose. It's not about just jumping through some hoops, of following some rituals to please God. It's living the purpose of God, the purposeful life God created us for. God had intentions when He created us. He imagined a beautiful life where we bear fruit. He gives us that we are growing in the knowledge of God. Not that we knew the knowledge of God, that we are growing in it and that we are being strengthened. Notice these are all continuation words. Bearing, growing, being. In English, these are all continuation words. These are things that are now and they continue on. That if I'm growing, that means I'm growing now and I'm growing later. I'm continuing in all of these things. These are not things that just drop into our life and they're just there. They are things that continue to develop. They develop through our whole life. And so if we are living a life that is worthy of God, that God is pleased with us, we are going to be continually throughout our life bearing fruit. Not just once, not just occasionally, but throughout our life. We're going to be continually growing in our knowledge of God. Not stopping when at a certain point of life and think, well, I know everything I'm ever going to know about God. That we continually grow in that. We learn throughout our life about God. And we are being continually strengthened in all power according to His glorious might. That doesn't mean that we just get stronger ourselves in our human abilities. That means that we are stronger in His Spirit, that we grow in all power. If we are living a life that is worthy of being called Christian, we are continually growing in these things. The really good news there is if you read this and you think, I'm not living a life worthy of God, I know I'm not living a life that is pleasing God right now. The good news is this is always a continuation. Wherever you're starting today is a really good place to start. Wherever you begin today is a really good place to begin. It's not in comparison with someone else. Where you are is a really good place to start growing in God's knowledge. It's a really good place to start bearing fruit. It's a really good place to be strengthened continually. So even if we are not where we wish to be, if we know that we are not living a life right now that is worthy of being a follower of Jesus, these are continuation words. We start and we continue through the rest of our life. And when we do that, it leads to this. Paul writes, so that you may have great endurance and patience and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. See, God wants us to live a life that is worthy of Him. God wants us to live a life that is pleasing to Him, so that we can bear fruit, so that we can have knowledge, so we can grow in strength. But God's not just being about God. God also is about us. That God wants to be pleased, but it's in our best interest, because when we do these things, we get so many things in return, that we have endurance and patience. How many times have we prayed for patience? I know lots of people that said, God, give me endurance during this hard time. God, give me patience during this hard time. The scripture tells us those things come automatically. They are a result of all the things we've talked about. Knowing God's will, living a life pleasing to Him, bearing fruit, growing in knowledge, but being strengthened into His glory. All of these things lead to the endurance and the patience and the joyful thanksgiving that we want in our life. See, it's not just these things that we want, the patience, the joy, the endurance, all these things we hope for. God doesn't just drop them out of the sky on us. He doesn't just infuse them into our bloodstream. They develop, and they develop from following Jesus in the way that's described here in Scripture, as we are following His will, as we are living lives worthy of Him and pleasing to God in all the ways that are described here. The result is endurance and patience and joyful thanksgiving. These are the things that come to us because He has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. Now, what does that kingdom of light mean? A lot of people think that means heaven, and it does. It does mean heaven. When we leave this world, that we have inherited the eternal life with Him in heaven. But one of the things that Scripture tells us is the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That it's not just then, it is also now. That we have the Holy Spirit with us. That we have the Holy Spirit with us now. And that we live in the kingdom of light, not just when we die and go to heaven, but every day of our life as we walk with Christ through the Holy Spirit, we have already inherited this. And so He tells us, because we've inherited this, because this has already happened, He writes, for He has rescued us. Notice that's past tense. He's already rescued us. It's not a rescue when we leave this world to go to heaven that we're rescued. We are already rescued. He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness, brought us into the kingdom of His Son, who He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We are forgiven. We are redeemed. We live a life of freedom. We live a life of joyful thanksgiving. We live a life of endurance and patience because He has already rescued us from darkness. He's already taken care of that. He has rescued us from the darkness. Now, physically in this world, we're going to have to live through some dark times, but spiritually, we are already rescued from all of that. Our minds, our hearts, our spirits can walk with God even in the difficult darkness of this world because He's already taken care of that. Physically, we live here for a while, but it's not just about our physical life. It's not about our spirit, our mind, our heart being with Jesus, even in the midst of this temporary world until we reach that final destiny of heaven. That He has already done these things. Now, what would it be like if that picture that we are given in Scripture was our Christian faith? That we were a people, just as the Apostle Paul prayed for, that he continually prayed that God would give them knowledge of His will, that they would live lives that are pleasing, worthy, of being called Christian, of having the name Christ in our name, so that we can bear fruit, have purpose in our life, that we could be strengthened through all things, through His glory, that we could continually grow more and more in our knowledge of who God really is, so that we can have patience and endurance in these hard times of the world, that we can have joyful gratitude with God because we know we're already rescued from all this stuff in the world. We are already rescued from that. That before we even get to heaven, our spirit is residing with God in the Holy Spirit. That we are not just going through the struggles of life alone. We have the power of God within us. That our physical life may suffer at times, but our spiritual life can still be in the love and the strength of God Himself. I think that's a beautiful picture of what Christianity should be. And that doesn't eliminate all of our arguments. It doesn't eliminate all of our debates. We're not always going to agree. We're all going to be influenced by our culture in one way or another. But what if we can agree on that much? On what we have been taught in this scripture, that this is the picture of Christianity that brings us together, even though we are from different nations, different cultures, different points of view, different families, different political ideas. We are Christians that see the picture of Christianity within Scripture, that seek the will of God through His Spirit. Not through our opinions, not through our background, but through His Spirit, continually growing in all that so that we reap the rewards of walking in the Spirit now and forever. Christianity, despite its history, was never meant to be a big fight. It was never meant to be a war between Christians. It was never meant to be arguments. Yes, we have to discuss. Yes, we can debate, but we are meant to be followers of Jesus together as the Scripture describes. And if we're going to do that, if we're going to overcome all of our opinions, all of our backgrounds, all of the things that may cause us to be divided, we have to follow the Spirit, and that means we pray. The primary way of learning to follow the Spirit is to pray. That gets intimidating for some people. Some people wonder, well, how do I do that? You can't do it wrong. You just talk to God. You cannot do it wrong. If you don't know what to say, you don't have to say anything. Just put your mind, your heart towards God. You cannot do it wrong. But if you pray every day, if you pray continually, the Spirit will speak with you and teach you how to be a follower of Jesus, as the Scripture has described. This is the way we learn to truly be followers of Jesus, is by praying to Him. And so let's pray together. God, thank you that you give us this picture within Scripture. That the Apostle Paul prayed for the people of this church. And when he prayed that they would be true followers, to follow your will through the Spirit. That they would live lives worthy with purpose, with strength. That they would develop endurance and patience and joy because they knew they'd already been rescued from all the stuff of this world. God, you've given us such a beautiful picture of what it means to be a Christian. Forgive us, Lord, that we have sometimes made it something else, that we wanted our own way, that our opinion or our background might have been more important than really following you. And as we discuss and as we debate within the Christian faith, help us to do it as people who love each other because we first love you. Help us, Lord, to be true followers of Jesus, not followers of a particular doctrine or a particular ritual, but true followers of Jesus that's above all of that, to learn continually from your Spirit to live exactly the life that you imagine for us and all the glory that brings. We ask you all of this as we, your people and your children, lift our prayers to you.